morning in today's daf and Sotos Chaf Beis. We're in Chaf Aleph Amud Beis. We're starting at the top, towards the top, at the two dots. Thank Lubin Foundation for sponsorship of the daf. Daf is known as Zechon Ishmas Liba Gavriela Bashmuel. We are picking up where we left off yesterday. And a continued refuah shleima for Leah Bas Miriam Feigl. We are we're continuing from where we left off yesterday, and the Mishnah back on Chaf introduced us to a couple of ideas as it relates to Sota, the disposal, the proper disposal of the of both the mincha and the water in the event that something goes wrong. That that's not coming up in today's daf. The Gemara is going to discuss in more detail. I'm sorry. We're coming back in the Mishnah to that discussion in tomorrow's daf. And then the Mishnah goes on to describe what happens when she actually drinks the water. The Mishnah Daf Chaf gives a pretty graphic description of her immediate demise. And then the Mishnah talked about extensions in terms of could be a year, 2 years, 3 years, in which she has some sort of zechuyos, and it'll be tola. It'll just simply suspend her punishment. More on that topic is also coming up in the Gemara. And Benazai says, because of this concept that there's chus which are tola, so a person really should teach his daughter Torah, so that she understands and she knows that maybe the words might not work right away, and there may be a delay, and she won't come and question the validity of the Torah if she doesn't see immediate results, or if she sees somebody else who also doesn't experience immediate results. And then Rabbi Lazar disagrees. He says, teaching your daughter Torah. Now, the gears that we had in our Mishnah is lamda tiflis. It's like teaching her immorality. But we learned at the end of yesterday's daf, it's kiilu. It's not, you're not teaching her immorality, God forbid. Torah is not a book of immorality. It's just that what happens is, and this is Rashi's explanation, we saw this at the end of yesterday's daf, is that when you're teaching her Torah, so you're basically teaching her how to be smart, cunning, right? In other words, it's a lot of legalese that comes up in the Gemara, and you're basing her, giving her the tools in which she could basically manipulate and work her way through the law. Rabbi Yeshua makes a statement which the Gemara now is going to decipher. The statement that was made by Rabbi Yeshua in the Mishnah, I'm looking back at the Mishnah in Chaf Amud Aleph, Rabbi Yeshua Omer wrote to Isha, Bekava Tiflis, Mitisha Kabim Precious. A woman would rather have one Kav and Tiflis rather than having nine Kabim together with Precious. What does that mean? So we're up to the Gemara, and the Gemara is discussing that right now. So, Amar Rabbi Abba, my time at the Rabbi Lazar. Sorry, not yet. Okay. I'm promoting Rabbi Yeshua's statement, and we haven't gotten up to it yet. So I'm sorry. A little bit more from the discussion of Tiflis. Okay, we are about four lines let's start from the two dots. Three lines from the top of the Amud. Tiflis Hagadach. The Gemara says can be that teaching your daughter Torah is Tiflis. So Ela Ema Kilu Limda Tiflis. The Gemara says okay. The correction is it's not Tiflis. It's Ki'ilu. Okay, and again, as we just explained, I'm Rabbi Abba, my time at the Rabbi Lazar. What's the reason behind Rabbi Lazar? So, Dichsiv, Ani Chachma Shechanti Aruma, Kev Shenichnas Chachma, Ba'adam Nichnas Aimo, I'm Remis. When a person has Chachma, he also has cunning, and cunning isn't necessarily a good thing. V'Rabbanan Hay Ani Chachma Ma'avdilei. Now, what do the Chachamim do that? With Chachamim over here, meaning a reference to Benazai, meaning obviously none of this worried Benazai. Benazai was an advocate for teaching Torah to the daughters, and obviously it didn't bother him. So So the Gemara says, as far as Benazai in this pasuk from Mishlei is concerned, so he derived from the pasuk of Mishlei that it's not teaching us anything about cunning and the ills of teaching your daughter's cunning, but rather, if you want to learn Torah and you want the Torah to be miskayim, meaning you want to walk away remembering what you learn, elabi mishamamid atzmo arum aleihem. So you stand arum over them. Exactly what does that mean? Rashi explains, third line down in Rashi, shapir shmikol asakim. So basically, if you really want to... if you want to devote yourself to Torah, you have to devote yourself to Torah to the exclusion of other pursuits. Rashi goes on to say, you have to make yourself like poor, and meaning you don't have a lot. Meaning you'll be able to focus on learning because, quite frankly, you don't have anything else to focus on. Now, that doesn't mean you're not supposed to have other things. It just simply means that if your focus is on Torah, so good. So then you're devoted to Torah, and you're going to learn Torah and remember Torah. If you're focusing on other things, so then it's not going to be miskayim. So, continuing back to the Gemara, Shenema ani chachma shechanti aruma. I'm Rav Yochanan, ein devei Torah miskayim ela b'misha meisim atzmo kimisha eino. Similar statement by Rav Yochanan, and that is that if you want the Torah to be miskayim, so you have to be kimisha eino as if you are nothing. Shenema v'chachma me'ayin timtza. Chachma comes from ayin, comes from nothing. So, basically it means that, again, it's a similar idea, but basically, right, you want the Torah, so you have to go in there pretending, or in certain circumstances, you don't even have to pretend. But in other words, that you're nothing, that you know nothing, and you have to be mekabel. In other words, you have to be ready to receive. But, and you have to start from a point of zero in order to do that. Okay, so a similar comment by Rav Yochanan in terms of Kiyum HaTorah. Rabbi Yeshua Omer wrote to Isha. Okay, now I can properly preview this statement. This goes back to the Mishnah, Rabbi Yeshua says a woman would prefer. What does the Mishnah mean? My Kamar, that's exactly the Gemara's question, meaning by itself, Rabbi Yeshua's statement seems to be a little cryptic. So the Gemara explains, he wrote to Isha, Bekav Tiflis Imo, Mitisha Kab Neprisha. So the Gemara gives a little more of an explanation, really. The difference between the Gemara's explanation and what we saw in the Mishnah, very small. But Rashi goes on to say, So Rashi says that in general, women would prefer fewer mizonos, and rather have physical pleasure with her husband. Now I say her husband, by the way, because, in other words, I'd like to think about the Gemara's point in a somewhat more sterile manner. But in the context of the Mishnah, I don't know if Rabbi Yeshua means it as pleasant as I'm presenting it. But still, the point being is that generally speaking, women would prefer more involvement in Tashmim. Metisha Kabman appreciates the freshman at Tiflos. Leficha ain't tov she Torah. And the way Rashi understands it in the context of the Mishnah is that Rabbi Yeshua is endorsing the opinion of Rabbi Eliezer, meaning that Ben Azai was endorsing the idea that you should teach your daughters Torah, and Rabbi Eliezer says you shouldn't. And Rabbi Yeshua, in this statement, again, as cryptic as it is, but the way Rashi understands it in the context of the Mishnah, also supporting the position of Rabbi Eliezer. It's not good. Okay. Hu Omer Chasid Shota. And then the Mishnah finishes off by making a couple of very broad statements. I'll just reread the Mishnah one more time. Hu Haya Omer. So he would say. So presumably we're talking about Rabbi Yeshua. That's usually how it works, right? The last person stated Hu Haya Omer. It's like reading Ibn in the footnotes. Okay. So he would say Chasid Shota Rasha Arum Isha Prusha Makos Prushim Hareze Mevale Olam. So these four general types of people are destroyers of the world. They ruin the world. So obviously they need definitions. So we have Chasid Shota, 1, Rasha Aram, 2, Isha Prusha, 3, and Makos Prushim. Okay, so four things mentioned in the Mishnah who ruin the world. And so for a good part of today's daf, what we're going to be doing is describing these types of people, giving a better understanding, a better definition of who these people are. Hu Haya Omer Chasid Shota, Echadami Chasid Shota. So first of all, we're going to start off with a Chasid Shota. Obviously, we're going to follow the Seder of the Mishnah. Number one, Chasid Shota, a foolish, righteous individual. Gemara gives a classic example. Classic, I would say, simply because it's in the Gemara. Kigon de katava isa benara, woman's drowning in the river. Ve'ama lavar charli sekuli bavatzula. And the guy says, "Look, pasnished. It's not appropriate that I should go in there and I should save her. I'm going to have to look at her. It's, you know, it's not appropriate. It's immodest. And so you have an opportunity to save her life, and you don't save her life, and you blame a religion for that. So chasid shota, that's foolish. Tosfos gives another example. He quotes the Yerushalmi. It's a small Tosfos. It's the third Tosfos on the Amud. Hechidami chasid shota. Tosfos writes Yerushalmi. Ratinuk mevaveh benahar. So Tosfos gives an example where you see a child drowning in the river. Amar lechesh echlot tefillin atzilenu. And you say, well, first let me take off my tefillin. Right, Bizman, Hagamara, they wore tefillin much more extensively than what we do. So anyway, so he was wearing tefillin. And he says, okay, just a moment, let me take off my tefillin. Akashu cholik tefillin hotzizeh esnafsho. And while you're taking off your tefillin, so the child dies. So again, chasid shota, right? Right, proper respect for my tefillin. I have to have kavod tefillin, which, by the way, we do have to have kavod tefillin. But again, when someone's life is in the balance, so then that shouldn't be consideration. You should jump right in. Okay, a second example of chasid shota. Hechidami rasha arum. Okay, that covers topic number one. I know the Gemara does not spend a lot of time with that. We are moving on now to the second topic of the Mishnah, and that's rasha arum, a cunning, wicked person. So Amar Rav Yochanan zeh amatim dvarav l'daim kon shiavo ba'al din chaver. Gemara is going to give a number of examples of the Rasha Arum, someone who's cunning. Meaning, even though the Mishnah uses the word Rasha in this context, I mean, obviously we're talking about somebody who's not good, and the Mishnah's description that he ruins the world obviously means he's not good, but Rasha not in the simple sense that he's just a bad person, meaning deceptive and cunning and doing things that are underhanded. So you'll see through all the examples. I think seven examples in total. So example number one of the Gemara is you go and you present your case to the judge before your friend gets to the court. Now, in general, as far as the judicial process is concerned, not right. Meaning when presenting a case, both litigants have to be present in the courtroom when each side is presenting their case. It is simply not right. It's not just. I mean that here literally. It's not justice if one presents his case without the other. Now, I guess we can ask the question, what's the dayan doing listening? Okay, good. Yeah, I see a lot of head nods. we can ask the question, what's the dayan doing listening to it? So, as a suggestion on my part, and it's just merely a suggestion on my part, is that we know that the third parak, I know we're learning the third parak of Sanhedrin now in the afternoon. The third parak of Sanhedrin tells us that zebra lo'echa, meaning that sometimes in monetary cases, you have an opportunity to choose your judge. So, and each litigant chooses his judge, and then the two judges choose the third judge. And this is the process of Zavla, in terms of the creation of a court. So, it could very well be that while you're selecting your judge, so you say, I'm going to choose this judge. In fact, let me go over there and let me tell him that I'd like him to be part of the panel. And then while you're there, you know, let's go walk over to the courtroom and listen, while I have your attention. Let me just fill you in on what's going on. Okay, but still, the dying shouldn't be listening. Anyway, just coming up with some sort of visualization of what the dying's doing, listening to the case. Anyway, next, Rabbi Abba Omer Zanosin Dinolani Lashlam Lo Masayim Zuz. Second example of a Rasha Arum. So we know in general in Halacha, so that if you're below the poverty line, so you're entitled to Manosanim, right? The gifts of the poor. Right, many different ways that the Torah allows people with money and means to give to the poor. So, but who's poor? So it's, you know, nothing's changed in the last, you know, 3,300 years. And that is, we have a poverty line. And, you know, it's set here in America. It's and if you're below the poverty line, so you're entitled to entitlements. So in Halacha, it's the same. The poverty line is 200 zuz. 200 zuz, if you have a personal statement of under 200 zuz, so then you're below the poverty line. If your personal statement is above 200 zuz, so then you're above the poverty line. So this person has 199. And so he's under the poverty line. Now, on being under the poverty line, you are entitled to matnos aniyim, and in that one-time gift, so there's no cap. Meaning you can receive at that point in time however many gifts somebody was ready to give you in that one-time giving. Obviously, in that one-time gift, that you're going to go well over the poverty line, but that's fine. Perfectly fine. And so what the Arusha Aram does is the Arusha Aram says, you know what? Let's just inch him right over the poverty line, and that way he's not going to be entitled to anything. Did not we learn to the Mishnah Mishish Lamasim Zuz Lo Yito Lekeshecha Peah? It's the Mishnah in Peah, one of the first Mishnah in Peah. It's in the first parak. So if you are above the poverty line, so you're not entitled. Not the leket, shecha, and peah. These are all different types of matnos aniyim. Or maaser ani. Hayil masayim chaser dinar. If let's say you have 199, or even, meaning it doesn't matter. In other words, there's a line. Once you're below the line by any amount, afilu elef nostim lo, ka'achas. So again, you can give them a one-time gift, and that one-time gift can be a thousand zuz, and that's fine. Perfectly fine. Harei zeyito, you're allowed to take. And so, in the second example of Rosh Aharon, so somebody comes over to him and says, you know, he's just under the poverty line. So why don't you do the following? Just give him a little bit, put him over the poverty line, and let's move on. And in the context of the Gemara, it's clear from the Gemara here that that's not right. Meaning that once you're below the poverty line and once you're entitled to entitlement, so it's not right to just push them above. Meaning, give them. Rabbi Asi Amar Rav Yochanan, we're up to now the third example of Rosh Aharon. Zamasi Eitzelim Kor B'Nechasim Uatim. Someone advises a family to sell the estate of Nechasim Muatim. So just as a brief background to what the Gemara is talking about over here, Rashi quotes the Gemara Baba Basra. Gemara Baba Basra tells us as follows. Before the Gemara Baba Basra, the Torah tells us that a man dies, so his Yerusha, his estate, goes to his sons. What happens to the daughters? So the daughters that are married, good. The daughters that are not married, so they are going to get supported by the estate. That's part of the contractual clause of the ksuva. So they're going to get the daughters are going to get supported by the estate. Okay. What if the father dies and he does not leave a big Yerusha? We're going to call nechas mu'atim. He leaves a small estate. It's not enough for both the boys and the girls. It's not enough for all of his children. So what happens over here? The Chachamim now come and legislated that all the money is going to go to the girls, and the boys are going to have to go knocking door to door. Right? It's not right for girls to go knocking door to door. So therefore, the Chachamim, right, overrode the Torah. All money goes to the girls, and the boys get nothing. Okay, and that's by Nechasim Mu'atim. What's the threshold over here? I don't. I'm going to be honest. I don't remember. But whatever that threshold is. So the so that's the halacha. So and then someone turns to the boys and said to the boys, "Look, Dad just died. Right? Some estate planner went over to the kids and said to them, you know, your dad just died. You just had a Yerusha. But I'm telling you, the girls are going to go to court and the girls are going to make the argument successfully. That's the Chasim Mu'atim. That's just not enough for everybody. And then the Beis Din is going to take it away from you and give it to the girls. So why don't you do the following? Before going to Beis Din, sell the properties. Sell the properties, use the money. Why don't you do that? And the halacha is... right, the Gemara is about to quote it. Amar Rabbi Asi, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Yisam Shekidu Machru B'Nechas Mu'atim, Masha Machru Machru. So the halacha is, the Gemara quotes the name of Rabbi Yochanan, that if they sell prior to going to Beis Din, it's not right, but Masha Machru Machru. But what's done is done, meaning the sale is still registered as a legitimate sale, and you can't, the family can't get it back. So someone comes over, some estate planner comes over to the family, and no, it doesn't have to be an estate planner. He's a Rosh Aharon, and he goes over to the family and advises the boys to do that. So again, it works within the halachic system, but not right what you're doing.
What are they paying in?
If they, you're right, if the money's still there, so the money then is going to go to the girls anyway. I thought of that as well. So the, but it is a good point.
If they sell, become the accounts receivable, so that they don't.
Maybe they'll eat it, meaning they'll be ochel the nechasim. You're right. They'll enjoy knowing that anyway they're not going to get it. Maybe that's the case. Okay.
For some reason, he says the sons retain the money.
But that's hard to... Meaning, and I'm sure he knows what he's talking about, right? More so than I do. But that, why should that be, though? Okay, you're good.
It's only karka that's...
Okay, and then, right, the takana is only by karka, not by mammon? Okay. I'm going to be honest, I don't remember. Okay. So, Abaye Amar, we're up to now, I lost count. What number is this? New example of Rosh Aharon. Zamasi Eitzelim Kor B'Nechasim Kor Rabbi Shimon Ben Gamliel. Someone who advises to sell property like Rabbi Shimon Ben Gamliel, the Ditanya. Nich Zelach V'Acharech L'Ploni. Strange scenario, but look, in the we have similar structures as well. Basically, I'm going to give you a limited gift, right, with limited ownership. Meaning that we're gonna do a transaction. I'm gonna give you this property, but it's not yours indefinitely. In other words, after you die, it's going to go to a third party. And he identifies who the third party is. Okay? And so you have this kind of limited ownership. And then someone comes over to the first recipient and says to the first recipient, you know, once again, I know the intent of the giver was that it's going to go to you, and then afterwards it's going to go to a third party. I know that. But, again, he whispers in his ear, but you know you could sell it. Even though it's, again, it's not right, it wasn't the intent of the original giver, but you know you could sell it. So again, another example of Rosh Aharon. So Vayar Darishna Machar V'Achal Hasheni Motzi Miyad Al Kuchos Divrei Rabbi Rishim Gamliel Omer Ein L'Sheni El Amash Shaya Rishon. The opinion of Rishim, by the way, what I just said is not universally accepted. It's a machlokus between Rabbi and Rishim and Gamliel, but the halacha falls like Rishim and Gamliel, which is that if the first recipient sells the property, it's sold. It's done. So, and if someone goes over to the first recipient and says to him, yeah, you know what? Sell it. Sell it, because if you don't sell it, it's not going to go to your children. It's going to go to the third party. So again, that person is the Rosh Aharon. So it was not the original intent of the giver, but again, what's done is done. It works within the halachic framework. Next example, Rav Yosef Bar Chama, Rav Sheshet Zu Amachri Acharim Bar Chosav. So Rav Sheshet gives another example of Rosh Aharon, and that is, do as I say, but not as I do. Okay, that's obviously a loose translation. If you take a look at Rashi, Amachri Acharim Bar Chosav, last Rashi in the Amud, he writes, Rav Asu Kamoni, I do like me. Right? He reports himself to be a leader. And maybe he is. And Rashi goes on to describe that basically what he's doing is, I want you to follow me because I'm the kind of person you should be following. The ain't tocha kabaru, but as Rashi points out, this person, he's not transparent. Meaning, what you see on the outside is not what's on the inside. And he's got skeletons in the closet. I know that I'm using modern terminology, but that's basically what Rashi says, and so such a person is the Rosh Aharon. Another example, the Gemara says, Rabbi Zrika, Gemara really, you know, has a prepared series of answers for Rosh Aharon. I guess Chassid Shota is kind of self-evident. Like, even before the Gemara explained it, we all kind of knew what a Chassid Shota is. Over here, like, the Gemara gives very specific examples. Rabbi Zrika Amar Rav Huna Zeh Amekel Atzmo Machmer La'Acherim. Okay, I think this one's kind of self-evident, where personally, for his own personal halachic practice, he's Mekel. And then when other people ask him a question in halacha, he's Machmer for other people. Oh, Rosh Aharon. Ula Amar Zeh Shekar V'Shanav Loshimish Talmid Chachamim. So Ula gives another example. This will be our final example, so I guess it's number 7. Ula's final example is someone who learns Rashi. You got to read the Rashis over here. Kara over here says Rashi is Mikra. He learns Chomish. Vishana Rashi writes is Mishnah. So it's pretty good. In other words, he learns Chomish. He learns Mishnah, but not Mishamish Talmid Chachamim. We call that learning Gemara. Rashi basically says that. But remember, this is a Gemara talking, so Gemara is not going to make a self-reference. But basically, it's learning Gemara. Rashi writes, V'loshim ish tamid ha-chachamim, lo mutzvarsa Gemara, b'tame ha-mishnah. Meaning, the Mishnah, rarely, on occasion it does, but rarely does the Mishnah give explanations. The Mishnah is a machine gun, it spitfires halachas, and it spitfires opinions. But with no tamim, no explanation. What do we learn when we get to the Gemara? We learn explanations. Rashi says, Mahim Rasha, she'ain't a Rasha al-Burya. And he's a Rasha, says Rashi, because now he knows Torah, but he doesn't know reasoning behind Torah. Meaning he doesn't know the rationale behind the opinions. Ve'ain lomod he'menu. Don't learn from him. Because he knows Torah, but very superficially. Once you understand the halacha, once you have tamim, so then you can make distinctions in Isser and Heter. Basically, you're in every arena in halacha. Once you know the tamim, so then you can make distinctions. Rashi says many times in the Gemara, what do we find? My time, Amar Hachi, Omar Hachi. Why does he say it this way? Why does he say it this way? And then the Gemara says, what's the nafkamina? What's the practical difference? Here's a practical difference, meaning we understand what is generating the various opinions. And once we understand what's generating the various opinions, so now we can, now we know how to work the halacha, so to say. This guy comes out there and he starts saying Mishnayos, right? I'd be impressed, right? You have a guy saying over Mishnayos by, you know, by heart. That's impressive. And so people will look at him, people will say, oh, he's a Talmid Chacham, and meanwhile, he's not. All he knows is how to spitfire Mishnayos, but he doesn't know the reasoning behind it, and the Gemara says he's a Rasha Aram. Itmar. Second line down, Chav Beis Amad Aleph, a continuation of this discussion. The Gemara goes on. Karvishan V'Lashimish Talmid Chachamim. Someone who learns Torah, learns Mishnah, but it literally doesn't attend to Talmid Chachamim. In this context, as we just went through the Rashi, it means he doesn't understand Svaras HaTa'amim. He doesn't understand the reason, the rationale. Rebbe Elazar Omer is Amaretz. So Rebbe Elazar says, give him the label of an Amaretz. And it's not just a label. It's not just name calling. Rashi writes, Chashad Al Masros V'Ataros, meaning an entire Masechta is dedicated to this topic. It's called Demai, where now because he's an Amaretz, so he can't, if you're going to buy produce from him, we question whether or not he took off Trumas and Maestros. We have to take off Trumas and Maestros again. Actually, not Trumas, just Maestros.
And he's also a cunning evildoer, the same definition.
And right, in other words, and right, this is an addendum to the previous point. Mm-hmm. Yeah, Rabbi Shmuel Bar Nachmani Omer is a boor. Rabbi Shmuel Bar Nachmani says, actually, I'm going to go one step further, and that is he's a boor. Okay, Rashi, all Rashi says on this is that a boor is worse than an Am Haaretz. Okay. Practically, Rashi doesn't explain practically what the difference is, but my best guess is that not only is he unlearned, but also in terms of his character traits, meaning midos, no good, right? Even though, by the way, meaning well, what is he missing? He's missing Gemara, but it's understood that within the Gemara also is a refinement of character. Rabbi Yana Omer is a kusi. Rabbi Yana goes a step further. This person's a kusi, right? Rashi points out a kusi. We know we're not allowed to eat the bread of a kusi, drink the wine of a kusi. In other words, his inattention to learning the Gemara means that really he doesn't pay much mind to what the Chachamim have to say. Now, mind you, by the way, in this context, he's learning Chumash, he's learning Mishnah. It's not like he doesn't care at all, but not learning Gemara, not learning the Svara, really is a reflection of the fact that he cares, but he doesn't really care. Rav Acha bar Yaakov Amar Harizeh Magush. And the Gemara then goes one step further, he's a Magush. The word Magush probably is a derivative, the word magician is probably a derivative of the word Magush, that's my best guess. But Rashi says, a Magush is a magician. Right? Mechashev HaOchez HaSanayim. He fools other people. So, again, what does that mean in practical terms? I don't know. Rashi doesn't say. But, again, I guess if we understand the Gemara as being a progression, right, Amaretz, Bor, Kusi, so it sounds like in the context of the Gemara that Magush is even worse. Mm-hmm. Okay, but I don't know. I don't know how to explain that. I don't know what. Right. I don't know explain why it's worse, but okay. That's correct. That's right. That's what Rashi says. Right, understood. Okay, but why is that worse than her? Okay, anyway, let's go on. I'm Rav Nachman Yitzchak Mistabek Rav Acha Bar Yaakov Damrei and she Rati Magusha V'lo Yada Mayama. The Gemara says that Mistaber liked his final opinion because people say Rati Magusha V'lo Yada Mayama. Right, these magicians, they come up with these incantations, right? You hear these incantations, you have no idea what he's saying. Right? Chances are, he has no idea what he's saying. Rashi writes, Targum, Chover Chover, who magush, lokesh hamechashev es lechashav. He says his incantations. Veino maven mahim, o ma perusham. He doesn't understand what he's saying. Elakach masem, shemechashafas ba'yideh osam alechashem. But like giving off this appearance that it's because of these incantations, so now, okay, everyone gets it. Okay, Amar, I'm sorry, Lo Yada Mayamar. Okay, Tinitan of Lo Yada Mayamar. Okay, he's saying over Mishnayos, but he doesn't know what he's saying. Meaning, going back to our point, meaning we're comparing the person who learns Chumash, learns Mishnah, but doesn't learn Gemara, he's like a magician in the same way. He's saying off now, I mean, they're not incantations, they're Psukim, they're Mishnayos, but he doesn't understand what he's really saying, so in that regard, they're similar. Tana Rabbanan, Ezu Am Haaretz. What is the definition of Am Haaretz? Takes us back now. I know it's hard to imagine, but 3 years ago, when we started the new cycle of the Daf Yomi, but the seventh parak of Brachos. Remember the Gemara in the seventh parak there. Same discussion. What the definition of an Am Haaretz is. The reason why the Gemara over there had it is because a question over there of benching together with an Am Haaretz. The Gemara over there says, quite frankly, and with no hesitation, you can't make a Zeman with an Am Haaretz. In other words, you made Zemans with done with three people, but you can't do it with an Am Haaretz. Tosus over there says, I'm going on memory, so whatever, Mem Zayin, Mem Ches, somewhere in that area. So the Tosus over there says, nowadays we do. Right? Nowadays, we don't make the discernment that the Gemara makes. But okay. Anyway, so the Gemara, once the Gemara got onto that discussion, the Gemara over there also gave a definitive definition of an Am Haaretz. Tosfos over here notes that not all these definitions, meaning if you look at the Gemara over here, look at the Gemara over there in Brachos, so it's Mem Zayin. Okay, I'm looking at Tosfos now. If you look at the Gemara here, look at the Gemara in Brachos, and you look at the Gemara elsewhere, not all these definitions accord with one another. So it makes for a discussion in Tosfos. Okay, anyway. Tana Rabbanan Ezu Am Haaretz, what's the definition of an Am Haaretz? Kol Sheina Kar Kishma Shachris Varvis Bebir Choseha. Divrei Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Meir says you don't say Shema together with its brachos both in the morning and in the evening. Right? We have a mitzvah to say Shema twice a day. The Chachamim attached brachos to the Shema, right? Known as Birchos Kriya Shema. And so if you don't say them morning and night, so Rabbi Meir says that's the definition of Amar. Chachamim Omrim Kol She'eino Maniach Tefillin. You don't put on tefillin. Benazei Omer Kol She'eino Tzitzis. Bebigdo, you're not wearing tzitzis on your begadim. The simple pshat of the Gemara is that you're wearing a four-corner garment, but you don't put tzitzis on it. Okay, that's the simple pshat. The Rabbi Yonatan ben Yosef Amar Kol She'esh Lo Banim Ve'eino Megadlim L'Olamo Torah. You have children, but you don't raise them you don't teach them Torah. Achem Omer Ma'afilu Kar V'Shana V'Lo She'esh Tamid Chachamim. You learn Chumash, you learn Mishnah, but you're not Mishamish Tamid Chachamim. The definition where we started off this whole discussion is Zeu Am Haaretz. This is the definition of an Am Haaretz. Parenthetically, all these definitions really are connected. Because when we say the Shema, what do we say in the Shema? So in the Shema we say v'ilamadatem ba'am. You have to teach them. You have to teach your children. That's that covers one opinion. It says you have to put on tefillin. That covers another opinion. It says in the third paragraph of Shema you have to wear tzitzit. That covers another. Meaning, basically all these opinions, even though it sounds like multiple opinions and they are, but they're really interconnected. Back to the Gemara. Karev loshana hari zebor. So again, going back to the point that we made earlier, you read Chumash but lo shana, but you're not learning Mishnayos. So now you're a bor, even though earlier we saw an opinion that even if you're karev vishana, but you learn Gemara, you're a bor. But okay, here the Gemara cites the opinion that Chumash without Mishnah, you're a bor. Lo karev lo shana, alav akasav amr v'zaratis beis Yisov es beis Yehuda zera adam v'zera behema. So what if you don't read Chumash? What if you don't learn Mishnah? So the Gemara is very harsh. The Gemara quotes the pasuk from Yirmiyahu, which is a Kadosh Baruch Hu says, you know, I've created man, I've also created animal as well. So, okay. Hamev and Yavin. Continuing now in the Gemara. Yiras Hashem b'ni u'melech v'im shonim al titarev. Pasuk in Mishlei. Fear Hashem b'nei Melech, v'im shonim al titarev, and don't mix together with the shonim. Who are the shonim? Amar Av Yitzchak, elo sheshonim halachos. These are people who learn halachos. It's funny, I would say that someone's learning halacha, those are the people that you should hang around with and associate with. So Rashi over here, realizing that can't be the Pshat in the Gemara. So Rashi says, and Rashi's also understanding all this is in the context of the discussion of the Gemara. Rashi says, Sheshonim halachos, Sheloshim shel tamid chacham velo ekpira al tamei mishnayos. So, and halachos, next Rashi, mishnayos. Meaning, again, in the context of a Gemara, we understand. Here, halachos don't mean halachos. Halachos mean he's just learning Mishnah. That's all he does. But no analysis, no understanding, no good. Don't hang around with him. So, pshita ma'ud detem shonim b'chet. So the Gemara says, now, I could have said a different pshat, which is, shonim over here just simply means repetition. Lishanot. Uchid Ravuna Dam Ravuna Kemichavar Adam Avera Vishanaba Huchrolo. A person does an Avera and repeats doing the Avera Huchrolo. Kamash Malan. I'm sorry, Huchrolo, it's permitted to him. Now, the Gemara elsewhere, when quoting the statement, asked the question, right? Huchrolo Sakadacha, what do you mean? You think it becomes Heter? You know, you do an Avera, you repeat it, okay, good, now it's Mutter. Of course not. Meaning Nasaloka Heter. And Rashi over here writes that. Of course it's not Mutter, but once you repeat an Avera, so the first time is shocking, the second time it's less shocking, the third time already, okay, good. Now, right, you become desensitized to the Avera. So that could have been the pshat in the pasuk. And Mishle, Kamash Malan, the Gemara says, but we're saying a bigger chiddush. Meaning, we're not talking about a bad person, we're just talking about somebody who's learning Torah but with no understanding. Tana Hatanaim Mevale Olam. We learned in a Braisa, Tanaim destroy the world. Okay, out of context, of course, it's a terrible statement, but in the context of the Gemara, we understand, right? The Tanaim, the people who are I'm sorry. Let's read on. So Mevali Olam Sagadacha Amaravina Shemorin Halacha Mitoch Mishnasan. Tanaim in this context mean that they tell you the halacha, but just based on a Mishnah. Meaning, again, no analysis, no understanding. What do you mean the destroyers of the world? People who are learning Torah are the creators of the world. They are the miyashri olam. They settle the world. So, and again, we're going to come back to the same pshat. They're saying over the halacha, but without understanding. They know a Mishnah, they know a Braisa, they say over the halacha based on that, no good. That's Mevale Olam. Okay. That was a lengthy discussion in the Gemara in terms of a Rasha Arum. Moving along. Isha Prusha. The Gemara now gives a description of Isha Prusha. That was now the third category in the Mishnah back on Dav Chav. The Mishnah gives four different types of people who are Mevale Olam, destroyers of the world. So we already went over today Chasid Shota, we went over today Rasha Arum, and now we're going over the third category, and that's Isha Prusha, an ascetic woman. The Gemara goes on to explain. Tana Rabbanan Besula Tzaylanis V'Amana Shavavis V'Katan Shalo Kalulu Chadashav Harei Elu Mevale Olam. The Braisa here says that if you have a Besula who is a Tzaylanis, Rashi writes Balas Tfila, she prays a lot. That obviously obviously is going to require an explanation. Stay tuned. Amana Shavavis, a widow who is very friendly, Rashi writes she's very social, visiting other people often. That does not require an explanation. That's self-evident. And a child, literally immature. But again, we're going to explain what that means as well. So the Gemara says, all these people are destroyers of the world. So the Gemara says that first point is very difficult to understand, and consider the following. We learn how to fear sin from the Besula. We learn how to receive reward from the widow. Rav Yochanan overheard a young woman make the following tefillah to a Kadosh Baruch Hu. Ribono Shel Olam. Baratik Ganeden, Baratik Gehenim. So I know how this world works, and I know how the world after works as well. There's a Ganeden, there's a Gehenim. Barat Tzadikim, Barat Rishayim. I also made Tzadikim and Rishayim. Meaning, everyone has free choice. Yehirat Tzom Afanecha, Shalo Yichashlu Bi B'nei Adam. And all I hope is, a Kadosh Baruch Hu, I petition you that I do not become the source and a michshol for somebody to not be a Tzadik, but rather be a Rasha. Meaning, she understands she's attractive, and people will look at her, and people will have her him. And she basically asks the Kadosh Baruch Hu, I don't want to be that michshol. So she petitions the Kadosh Baruch Hu. Kibbutz Chami Amana, and the Gemara quotes another lesson Rav Yochanan learned from the widow, and that is, Da'ahi Amana Da'ave Be'kinishtra B'shiv Vasa. There was a widow who had a shul in her local community, and she wouldn't daven there. Now, that's not abnormal. Okay, anyway, good. I think we all understand. Kol Yuma Hava Asya Matzla Be Midrasha, the Rabbi Yochanan. She would not daven the shul in her local community, but rather what she would do is she would walk It doesn't say how long she would walk, but she would walk a distance to go to the Beis Medrasher of Yochanan and daven in the Beis Medrasher of Yochanan. So I'm lo biti lo Beis Knesses b'shiva v'steich. So Rav Yochanan says to her, you know, you have a shul in your local community. Like, what are you doing? Why are you coming to the Beis Medrasher daven? Amar le Rebbe v'lo schar psios yeshli. So she says, yeah, but what about the schar halicha? Every step I take to go to shul, so that's more schar, that's more reward, right? It's not just doing the mitzvah, but the energy expended to doing the mitzvah. That's also on the balance sheet. So she says to Rav Yochanan, I get that as well. And Rav Yochanan admits, she's right. The widow's right. So now with all that stated, so now, Gemara now is just strengthening the question. Meaning, the Braisa start off by saying, you know, the Besula and the widow, so they're Mevale Olam. Mevale Olam, just the opposite. In these two stories that we just saw with Rav Yochanan, right, they're righteous individuals. And we learn things from them. The Gemara says, Ki kamar kegon yuchni bas ritivi. So the Gemara says, we're not talking about the generic Besula, we're not talking about the generic widow, we're talking about specifics. In fact, the Gemara is so specific, the Gemara just drops the name, and the Gemara says, and now let's move on. Now, it'd be good for the rest of us if we knew the significance of that name. Fortunately, we have Rashi. Kegon Yochanan ben Bas Retivi. Rashi is the first wide line on the page. Rashi writes, Amana Machshefa Haisa. Rashi says that she is a widow who is a sorceress. Ukishamagia Eis Leidas Isha Haisa Otzeres Rachma ben Machshefos. And the story goes, says Rashi, that she would be a doctor, right, a midwife, a doula, and what she would do is before solving the problem, she would create the problem. Okay, she created her own business. So she would, using her sorcery, she would stop the baby from coming out. And then she goes over to the woman who is suffering terribly in this childbirth, and she says, "Oh, maybe I know something. Maybe I can do something to help." And now she starts praying. Basically, all she does is that she pulls the plug of her sorcery, whatever incantation she made. And then the baby comes out, and so good. So now she comes out looking like a miracle worker, when meanwhile she was the same woman who created the problem. And now you understand the pshat, meaning what the Gemara said earlier was, she's a silentist, meaning she's praying. What's wrong with praying? In this context, meaning she's not really praying. All she's doing is giving the illusion that she, through her prayer, she's able to heal. So, Pamachas Hayalos Schir, Yom Bevesavi, Yolechas Abesa Ishao, Yelez Vishama Schir, Kolak Shafim at Kashim Mikli, Kamoshavla, Mikashkesh Bemea Aim, Uva Patach and Megufa Takli, Uva Shafim Yatsu, Vavla Nolad. And then basically, without going through all the details of Rashi, you can ask me later in terms of all the details, as if I understood anything. But basically, she was caught, meaning she was found out to be a total fraud, and so now her name became synonymous with, this woman's not, she's not a healer. She doesn't pray for people and they heal. In other words, she's a fraud. So the Gemara says, in that context, these people are Mevale Olam. They're the destroyers of the world. Okay, next, back to the Gemara. My kanchalo kalu chadashav. Okay, so, having explained now, obviously not the Besula, not the widow in general, but specifically the fraud, so they are destroyers of the world. But then we go on to the third case of the Braisa, and that was kanchalo kalu chadashav. What does that mean? The Gemara gives a couple of explanations. Tacha targim is a tamei chacham hamevayed b'rabo saf. So one pshat is that it's a tamei chacham who literally kicks his rebbeim. Okay, but kicking over here does not mean physically kicking them. It means the rejection of the Rebbeim. The Rabbi Abba Amar Zetam Chacham Sholei Gila Hara Umora. So another explanation, Rabbi Abba, this is an Eretz Yisrael, so he says, right, by the way, the explanation, Tacha Targimu, here they explain, meaning here in Bavel. Meaning here in Bavel we give one explanation, and in Eretz Yisrael, that's Rabbi Abba, so they give a different explanation. Zetam Sholei Gila Hara Umora. So he's not old enough to paskin, and he paskins. And we'll get to the age, the magic age, in just a moment. Amar Rabbi Abba, Amar Rav Huna, Amar Rav Mai Dechsiv, Ki Rabim Chalim, Hi Pila, Ve'atzomim Kol Harugeha. Again, we're quoting another passage from Mishlei today. The Gemara explains, Kol Harugim Ki Rabim Chalalim, Hi Pila, Zetamachachem, Shelo Higi Alohara, Umora. So the first half of the pasuk, a description of the carcasses over the ground, fetuses all over the place, right? A murderer. So very strong language. But basically, he's not yet mature enough, sophisticated enough, enough learning experience where he's poskening, and he's poskening halacha with terrible repercussions. And then va'atzumim kol harugeha. And then the second half of the pasuk is that atzumim, from the word atzum, la'atzum, to close and to shut. So he also is a murderer. Zetamachachem shigila ra'vein amora. And the opposite also is true. Meaning, a person has reached a point in his life where he's gone to the point of hara, where he should be poskening, and he defers, and he chooses not to. And that's not an anivus, that's just simply, the Gemara says, it's just simply wrong. In other words, once you reach at a point where you should be poskening, you should be poskening. The ad kama, now what's the magic age? The Gemara says, ad arbeim shnin, 40 years old. I know we always have it in our head, right? I don't know who put it there. All right, I think the Gemara in Chagiga. Okay, now I'm right. The Gemara in Chagiga also mentions it. But basically the Gemara says the magic age is 40. 40 years of age. Now that's the age you should be a Bahara, right? The Mishnah in Pirkei Avos says Ben Arba'im Labina, right? That's the Mishnah in Pirkei Avos, right? You have understanding, you have insight. Okay. Iniva Rabba Ori. So the Gemara asks a very simple question and a very good one. Rabba Paskind. And we know that he only made it to 40 years of age. He did not live beyond 40. Rashi reminds us, Gemara in Rosh Hashanah, that Rabbah was Mibes Eli. Comes from the house of Eli. Eli was cursed. His children are all going to live shortened lives. There's no longevity in the Eli family. Abaye also comes from the family, but Abaye, who learned Torah and also involved himself in Gemilas Chasadim, so he made it to 60. But the Rabbah only made it to 40, and meanwhile he paskin. So the Gemara's answer is b'shavin. That's the Gemara's answer. Yeah, he paskin, but because, and it's a one word answer, and it's a little cryptic. And let's look at Rashi. Rashi writes, "Im shavu l'gadol ha'ir b'chachma muta l'haras." So Rashi's first understanding is that meaning equivalency, meaning that 40 is a general age that people arrive at the point of paskining. And Rabbah, at an earlier age, doesn't say, we don't know when, but at an earlier age, arrived at the point of equivalency, and therefore at that point he paskin. That's one pshat in Rashi, or Rashi offers another pshat, o she'ein zakim mimenu be'ir. Or to put it frankly, nobody in the city knows more than he did. So then by default, he's going to paskin because he knows the most. Okay. Makos Prushim. Okay, let's stop over here. Tomorrow, pick it up. The seven ascetics. Okay, the Gemara is gonna. We only have left to explain in the Mishnah the fourth category, and that is the person living an overly ascetic life. And we're gonna. The Gemara is gonna give examples, seven different people who are living ascetic, overly ascetic lives. Very specific examples of what's not good, and then we start with that. We start with the new Mishnah and the new discussion of tomorrow's daf. Okay, today we finished up the discussion of the Gemara's position on women learning Torah. I didn't discuss it with any type of breath or any type of right. Obviously, there's more to go on this discussion over that which the Gemara has provided. But I'm sure that you knew already. The Rav over here spoke about it not so long ago. Anyway, and then we went over the four different people in the Mishnah who are the Mishnah qualifies as Mevale Olam, destroyers of the world, and the Gemara gave numerous examples of that. Okay.